I'm getting new revelations. You know, things will happen. Somebody will say something. Something will trigger something. And all of a sudden, it's like, I saw something that I never really looked at before, you know, or I didn't see before. And one of those is I was actually riding with Bruce in the car going out to Camp Bishop. I don't know what triggered it, except that we're talking about the light, you know, and in John 3:19, where Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light, and they don't come into the light, lest their deeds be exposed. But everyone who does come into the light, you know, it's clearly seen that their works are done in God. In other words, they are willing to make themselves vulnerable and accountable, and they're basically coming clean. They're being honest with God about who they really are, who they know they really are. You know, we can fake people out, but we can't fake God out, right? So God knows what's really going on. And there's nothing better than having a conscience that is clear and clean and, you know, and whole. And you're just like, oh, I can sleep at night, you know. I've gone through a lot of stuff like we all have, but I've been able to lay my head on my pillow at night and go to sleep. I really thank God for that. It's been a rare occasion when I've tossed and tumbled at night. Probably a few times, but since, you know, my inception spiritually, if you will, I've been able to sleep at night. And I thank God for that rest. And God has brought me in a place in my life now where I've been really just really experiencing the rest of God. You know, just the real rest of God, where I'm not striving like I used to. I used to try to make things happen, and you know, but it's just like, God, I just wanna walk with you. And let's do this. Let's do life together. Amen. And I'm not gonna try to do stuff for you. I wanna just walk with you, and we'll do it together. See, that's the difference. My yoke is easy, Jesus said, and my burden is light. But the Lord then downloaded this as I was reflecting on John 3:19 about coming into the light, brought me over to 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as He, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship, koinonia, right? With one another. And of course, this fellowship was with the Father and the Son, but it's you and I as the body. If we're truly walking in the light, we will want to be together. Amen. And how many beside myself have messed up at least once in your Christian life, right? And the devil comes along and he heaps condemnation on you. And the next thing you know, you're kind of feeling like, well, I don't really want to go to church today. I don't want to call or talk to so-and-so because they might see, or they might figure it out or pick it up. And so the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, comes along and he messes with you. And because he knows that the best thing you can do is run, amen, to Jesus, amen, and to reconnect with the body of Christ, where you're going to get healing, you're going to get nourishment, amen, from the body. So he tries to get us into condemnation, and when we are in that place, we will automatically withdraw from fellowship. Is this making sense? So what's the solution? When you hear that voice of condemnation, you say, forget, speak to the hand, devil, amen? I'm going to be with the body of Christ, because Jesus says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Do you understand the importance of coming together, gathering together, the importance of, if you will, doing church, going to church? We're not going to a church, but we are the church, and we are gathered together in his name. And he says, when you do that, I am there in your midst. And as we have this fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How many have come in feeling kind of beat up and dirty and torn, and you left feeling like a brand new person, clean? Amen. Do you understand the importance now? We have to understand this. I say it a lot, and because today there's a lot of people who are, it's because really deep down inside they know they're not walking in the light, that will say it's not important to go to church. I can be a Christian and not go to church. You know, that's true. But God calls us to a body. And do you understand that God's got his eye on his people? Not just you, not just me, but God's got his eye on us as being his possession that he bought with his own blood. And we are the apple of his eye. Just like Israel of old, we are the apple, the church, amen, is the apple of God's eye in the spirit. There is national Israel, and God has promises for national Israel, but the true Jew is not one who is one outwardly, but one who is inwardly. And that circumcision that God, amen, instructed them to do was for what? The heart. It was supposed to be talking about the conversion of the heart, the separation in the heart. Understand that we're separated from sin and we've been brought into right relationship with God through the blood that was shed. So circumcision is a type of sanctification, of being set apart for God. So I'm saying this because we're here today to take what we call Holy Communion and celebrate the Lord's Supper. And, you know, Paul was talking to the Corinthians and he's saying, you know, some of you guys are sick. And some of you have even fallen asleep. In other words, you died. Why? Because you have not discerned the body of Christ. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. God, his prayer through Jesus was that we might be one, as he was one with the Father. God wants his people to be one. No distinctions, no classes, amen? But a family. And we're all different, and God said, that's the way I like it. I want variety. But we're still, through the blood of Christ, we're one people through his Spirit. That's why it's so important that if we have aught against a brother, that we forgive. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's no different than having an infection in your hand that you ignore. Say, well, I don't need that hand anyways. Guess what? That infection will spread. Yep. Not only will it kill you, but it can also defile many others. And the Lord is zealous over his people. He cares very much about every one of us here. We're important to him. He paid the highest price for us. And he's coming for a church without spot or blemish. He's coming for a pure bride, a people that have been ready, that who have had their garments washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And that's why we must forgive one another. We must, whenever possible, reconcile relationships. Because by not doing so, we're not discerning the body of Christ. In our hearts, we can have murder. Hatred in your heart is murder towards a brother or sister. If you refuse to forgive someone, and you're holding that in your heart, it's the same as murder. That's what John said. And so therefore, we must forgive so that we can be forgiven. And James said, confess your faults one to another in James 5. What? And pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. God wants his body healed. He wants us whole. So I want to ask you this morning. God knows your heart. I don't. Bow your heads, would you? And ask Jesus, Lord, by your Holy Spirit today, I ask you, turn the searchlight on in me. If there is some wicked way in me, if there's someone that I'm holding or harboring bitterness towards or unforgiveness towards, show it to me. Because, Lord, I don't want anything to come between us. I want to be one with you, and I want to be one with my brother and my sister. Because I want to honor you, and I want to honor your prayer. If the Lord has showed you someone today, then you say, Lord, I need the grace. Ask Him for the grace of forgiveness. And I choose, as an act of obedience today, to forgive that one. In your own heart, right where you're at, you can say their name. Call them by name. Do it in your heart. You can do it audibly if you want, but just call their name. Talk to them right now and say, I forgive you. In the name of Jesus, I choose to release you. I cancel the debt. It doesn't mean that you're justifying what they did. It's simply saying, I'm going to choose to forgive you anyways. That's called grace. That's what Jesus did for you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You need to understand that people mean well. Sometimes they don't mean well, but if they really knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it. And so you've got to show the same grace, the same mercy that Jesus showed us, and say, Father, I forgive them. And I want you to ask the Lord to forgive them right now. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive them. And please don't hold this against them. Lord, today I receive forgiveness. I receive the cancellation of debt. I receive your pardon today. Cancel the debt and then ask the Father to forgive them. What you forgive on earth will be forgiven in heaven. The Lord is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Father, thank you for the grace of forgiveness today. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you for your promise that as we gather together in your name, that you are here and that the blood of your Son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we receive your forgiveness. Father, I just pray that you will unveil our hearts, our eyes, to see and understand your ways today, Lord. Reveal yourself to us through this today, God, I pray. And open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Anoint us right now. Anoint every ear in this place, God, to hear, to listen to what you're saying. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We're just going to really focus on one verse primarily this morning. And the title of today's message is The Character of the Kingdom. Jesus came to this world to set up his kingdom, amen? And he came to banish sin in the hearts of men. Now, he didn't come to overthrow the Roman government as some were expecting or hoping. Because Jesus walked in obedience with the Father and did exactly what the Father showed him to do, spoke what the Father told him to speak. He ran into direct confrontation with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the same thing is true for you and I when we obey the Spirit of God and we do what he tells us to do. We're going to be in direct confrontation with the world, the flesh, and the devil. How many know that's true? How many know that we have entered into a battle? Amen. We are in a war. The good news is that we're on the winning side. Amen. And the victor lives in us. And he is greater than the one that's in the world. And if we will rely upon his ability, his grace, we will overcome everything that comes our way. Because God has made you and I to be overcomers through him. So, Jesus didn't come, folks, to reform governments when he was here. And we know that's true. Sometimes we think if we can just get enough Christians to the top of the government ladder, that somehow we're going to bring a reformation in this world. Well, that's not what Jesus called us to do. He says, I've come to introduce to you a whole new kingdom. And this kingdom does not come with observation. It's not something visible to your natural eyes. He says, my kingdom is a superior kingdom, and this kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. And this is the kingdom of heaven that Jesus was introducing to mankind. And so some of the political leaders were getting stressed out because they're thinking, man, this guy's going to overthrow the government. You know, he's going to cause a revolt or a coup, and they're going to, you know, the Jews are going to rise up against us, and we're going to have problems. And so they were already plotting to get rid of Jesus, but he didn't come to reform the governments. He didn't come to take over the government at that time. Amen. But he came to redeem. He came to heal. He came to restore, and he came to break the power of sin in our lives so we could be free. And so the principles upon which this kingdom is established are righteousness, truth, love, and meekness. You know, in the world, it's all about how strong, how big, how much. But in the kingdom, it's usually out of weakness, you know, that God does extraordinary things so that people will understand that it couldn't have been that person. Wait a minute, isn't this the carpenter's son they said of Jesus, you know? He was born in a lowly manger, you know, and kind of just maybe a blue collar at that time, you know, situation. And nothing wrong with that. Amen. Jesus lived that life, right? But he didn't come as a reigning king. He came as a suffering servant. He came as a babe in a manger. And he came simply to become just like Adam or just like you and I. Amen. So that he could be a faithful high priest. He could redeem us through his own precious blood. Amen. Because he was not conceived by the will of man. Amen. Joseph was not his natural father. Amen. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin. It was a supernatural conception. So that child, that holy child, would possess the blood of God, because it was only by the blood of God that we could receive forgiveness. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There was a life for a life. Jesus gave his life for the world, for the sins of the world. He's not willing that anyone should perish. So these principles are here listed in Romans 14, 17. Listen, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Some people, their lives revolve around eating, drinking, creature comforts, you know, jobs, careers, this thing, that thing. And then they give God a little time, maybe on the weekend, you know, I go to church, do my church thing. And he said, listen, it's not about that stuff. How many know you can go to church, amen, and completely miss Jesus at church too, right? Because you're just doing a thing. It's about relationship. It's about connecting with your Creator, made possible through that blood that Jesus shed. So he said, listen, it's not eating and drinking, but three things. Look at this primarily. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and he says in verse 18, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Wow. To be accepted by God and approved by men is to do what? To abide in the righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. This is what the kingdom is about. Now, the reason why I want to talk about this today is because we need to understand that, first of all, the kingdom is righteousness. Righteousness. A lot of people's idea of righteousness is just righteous acts or righteous deeds or doing good things. How many know there are many people that do good things, but their lives are a shambles. Their lives are a mess. Amen. They're still in their sin. They're still in Adam, and therefore they're separated from God. But yet they know that by doing good things, I can feel better about myself and somehow maybe try to appease my conscience a little bit, you know. So, well, conscience here, have a little bit dose of some good deeds. In other words, there's a lot of do-gooders, folks, in the world. But the things that we do that are not a result of the abiding Christ within us, if they're not motivated by the love of Christ, they equal this much. Zero. Amen. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So without this righteousness, we need to understand something. God's righteousness, not our righteousness, not our opinion of what's right and wrong, but God's righteousness. Without this righteousness, there can be no peace. These things are in order for a reason, folks. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and then peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If your life is not established on the foundation of God's righteousness, there will be no peace and there will be no joy. There are people, even in the church, who are seeking to find peace and seeking to find joy and seeking through so many different ways to somehow feel better. Sometimes we seek out a church that has good music because the music makes me feel good, or I like the drama that they do, and I like the way he preaches those feel good messages that make me feel good when I come, and boy, if I can just get a little bit, if I buy just a few more CDs and DVDs and get a little bit more of that, I'm going to have a little more joy and a little more peace in my life. But the problem is this: if your life is not established on God's righteousness, you will never have peace. You'll have a temporary moment, a feeling of peace, simply because you're around the atmosphere of God's people, amen, and the peace of God is present there. But how many know what I'm talking about? You can have peace here and walk out that door and be back in your torment. So in other words, if you don't start out with the right foundation in your life, which is God's righteousness, it's impossible to have peace. Don't seek peace, don't seek joy, seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. Okay. So true joy is not produced by entertainment. Right? I mean, people will get temporary buzzes and thrills by, all kinds of things that we can do in this world. But they don't satisfy you. It doesn't last. It's like getting high, right? It's only as good as the peak, and then you're always trying to get back to that same spot. Each time it gets a little lower and lower, and you're taking more and more. And it's like that's how the world is. That's how it works. It leaves you emptier. Amen? You just get emptier and emptier. And the more that we try to fill ourselves up on what we think we want, the emptier we become. That was my problem, is I was trying to fill my life up on the things that I thought I wanted. I did it my way. And there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, it's the way of death. It just produced death. So the things I was filling myself up with never produced righteousness, and therefore I had no peace and joy. It has to be God's righteousness and not my own. And understand this, folks, that righteousness is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Joy is produced not by environment, but it's an outworking of God's grace. We are still recipients of grace. Would you agree? It's not of works. It's always by grace. It's always by Him supplying what we have need of. God wants us to have peace. God wants you to have joy. But He can't give that to you until you first receive the gift of His righteousness. You see, righteousness is a gift. You can't earn it. You have to receive it. In Romans 5:21, it says this: so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. Grace, God's, amen, ability, God's power will reign through what? Righteousness. To eternal life through Jesus Christ. So God wants us to reign. He wants His people to have victory, to walk, amen, in the overcoming ability that He supplies, that He provides. And this is the problem, is we're often pursuing the things of God rather than God Himself. You mentioned it already about the relationship. Working on your relationship with Jesus, getting to know Him. Know His heart. Have a relationship with God. Amen. Don't just come to church and get what you get here and try to survive off that. God's, amen, calibrating us while we're here. We're receiving nourishment and encouragement. But ultimately, the best thing I can do for you is say, listen, don't look to me, but look to Jesus. Amen. And the same thing should be true for all of us. Don't let anybody look to you as their Savior. We're simply the paper boy, amen, and paper girls who say, okay, I'm going to give you the goods, but I'm going to tell you, read the message. It'll point you to heaven, amen. It'll point you to Jesus. So the kingdom of righteousness had invaded the kingdom of sin and death of this world. And the light was on, and the people were not like, some people were loving it, some people were not. Amen? Especially those who had a form of their own righteousness, they thought they were good enough. And, because I do a lot of good deeds, and I tithe, and I help people, and I give the goodwill, and, you know, and I never do any harm to anybody, therefore I'm pretty righteous, and God must like me more, and therefore I'm going to heaven because I'm such a nice guy. You know, that's the deception, isn't it? Because all of us have sinned, we've all fallen short, and so our righteousness is not acceptable. So God says, I'm going to provide righteousness to you as a gift. Because none of us are ever going to be good enough apart from Him. It's His righteousness that makes me in right, puts me in right standing with Him. We actually become the righteousness of God in Christ. But you have to be in Christ. We have to abide in Him. So, apart from this ministration of righteousness, and how does it come? Well, it comes through the Holy Spirit. The ministration of righteousness to our hearts is through the Spirit of God. Amen? And it's as the Spirit of God is speaking the Word of the Father. So in other words, when you and I have heard the gospel of our salvation and we believed, we are saved. When we hear the gospel of salvation delivered to us by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, there is an impartation of life that produces a faith in our hearts to believe. And once we come into agreement and believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. But it's not because I just did a lot of good things. It's because life has been given to me through the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. You understand? Without the Word of God, there is no salvation. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. But this gospel must be preached, not by some stuffed shirt, amen, or some theologian that has all this knowledge in his head. But the gospel has to be preached by simple people, amen, you and I, who are in right standing with God and have yielded ourselves to become a vessel that God will flow in and through. And by His Spirit, there's an impartation of life, but never apart from His Spirit. Otherwise, we become Pharisees. We become full of the Word, but we don't have the Spirit, and the letter of the law kills. It will kill people, but the Spirit gives life. And the awesome thing is this God says, hey, you're warm and you have a pulse, you'll work. Let me do it through you. Just say yes, Lord. Amen. Make yourself available and open your mouth for me and I'll fill it. How many have discovered that? Sometimes it's scary. Amen. But when you open your mouth for God, all of a sudden it starts to come. It begins to flow. He says, I just wanted you to be obedient. That's all. Amen. Just wanted you to believe me, to trust me. I'll work through you. So without this ministration of righteousness by the Holy Spirit, there's no peace. Matthew 6:33, we know it so well, but seek first the kingdom of God. Again, the solution to worry is to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't seek counselors. Don't seek shrinks. Don't seek drugs. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The righteousness that God Himself imparts to you. And once you are in righteousness, you will automatically have peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit. It's by the Spirit. It's the ministration of the Spirit. Is this making sense today? Is this helpful? I hope it's helping somebody today. Because sometimes we're just seeking the wrong things. We're seeking things of God rather than God Himself. And sometimes because people are seeking the things of God, when God doesn't give them what they think they should get or what they think they want, they get mad at God and they give up. Come on. Well, God, I was doing all the right things. I was going to church. I was reading my Bible. I was praying. You know, surely you owe me this now. I mean, come on. That's sometimes the mentality that we could have. We think it's kind of like a give and take. Well, I'll give a little. You give a little. How many know that we're all recipients of mercy, of God's mercy? It's only by His mercy that we're saved. Amen. All of us have fallen short. All of us are in trouble with God apart from the mercy of God. We're all hopeless. We're all smoke. Amen. But God said in His mercy, I'm going to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. I'm going to take your place. I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to pay the price that you deserve to pay. And I'm going to provide for you, free of charge, righteousness. And this righteousness is my gift to you. And when you receive this righteousness and you put that righteousness in on as like a garment, that means you put on Christ, then you will experience the peace and the joy of fellowship with me in the Spirit. And your life will be, amen, no longer one of stress and anxiety and fear and worry. But if we're seeking, truly seeking God, amen, above everything else, seeking the kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things He said, I'm going to take care of. How many have discovered that works? Don't seek things. Don't even seek careers. Seek God only. And God will give you an instruction. God will give you wisdom. And then what God gives you will never be more than you can handle. If you find yourself buried and too much going on, I have a word for you today. It's not from God. I'll tell you why. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man will sometimes put you under their yoke of performance. And if you want to be somebody, you got to do this. You got to have that title. You got to have that career. You know, this is one of the things, in fact, we heard over this weekend about one brother saying, you know, somebody else kind of defined who he was. And if you really want to be successful, you got to go to Washington, D.C. and you got to have this kind of career. And so he finally achieved all those things. And then he was saying, man, what am I doing here? That's not who I am. Somebody else defined me, you know, and told me who I was. How many know you're not going to know who you are until you get to know Him? He will reveal why. Because we were made in His image. Oh God. How many know you can't live in worry and peace at the same time? That'd be messed up, wouldn't it? You're either in peace or you're in worry or in fear. And so, you know, it's a good acid test for my own life. I'll tell you, if I start to find myself being worried, you know, and concerned, and you know, I'm having trouble about just kind of like, oh, I got this stuff in my head, all this stuff's piling up on me. Sometimes, you know, I shared, I think last week, just God has said, Keith, just live simple. Get rid of all the excess. Get rid of anything that you don't really need. Get rid of the weights. We talked about Wednesday. Hebrews 12. Cast off those weights. Get the stuff out that you don't really need in your life so you can pursue God and the kingdom. Amen? Because that's where there's life and peace. There's joy. There's in the simplicity of God. Jesus said, listen, the flowers of the field, they don't spin. You know, they have a natural beauty that God gave them that man could never duplicate. Not to that type of perfection. He said, listen, all you don't need to do is trust God. Lean back in His arms and just let go. Enjoy life in Him. Put on the gentle yoke of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hook up with Jesus and say, Lord, I want to start doing life with You now. So much better, isn't it? I've been struggling and striving, and I once was walking with you. I once knew what that gentle yoke was, but all of a sudden I'm finding myself with all this other stuff on me. And my life has gotten bogged down, and I'm it's fruitless, and I feel empty, and I feel incomplete. And Jesus said, I didn't tell you to take all that stuff on. I said, my yoke is easy, he said, and my burden is light. I want you to get back with me. Just start connecting. And let's do life together. And when you walk with me, you're going to find you'll have power. Amen. You'll have authority. Why? Because it'll be my authority and my power. Because we're tight. Jesus and I are tight, right? We're doing this thing together. We're walking through it together. And you know what? Jesus isn't going to outrun you. He's going to walk in a pace where you may be sometimes like this, but you're going to be right with him. And there's this flow, there's a move in the Spirit, a place in the Spirit where it's easy. God wants His people to come into rest. He wants us to get rid of the things that will hinder us or choke us and make us unfruitful in the Spirit. Amen. It's okay. We don't have to keep up with the Joneses. You don't have to keep up with what society says is important. Come on. So many of us, our lives are controlled by what we're watching on the boob tube. What they say you're supposed to look like or dress like or act like or talk like, you know, or be like. I need to just be like Jesus, amen, because he's the only perfect one. I want to be like him. He's the perfect one. I want to learn to walk like Jesus did. And I want to receive the yoke, the gentle yoke of Christ so that I'm walking in that place of peace and joy, of fellowship with Him. If we're not living in peace and joy, folks, it means that we're not in righteous standing with Him. It means that somehow we've disconnected. When you're connected and you're walking and abiding in Christ, some of you know what I'm talking about. You're identifying, you're saying, you know what, yeah, I remember the time when this life was all about just me and Jesus. And I didn't care about all the stuff that now I'm all concerned about. And life was good there. It was good in the God zone. And somehow now I've got all this other stuff in my life that's just bogging me down because there are things that I thought that I wanted or somebody else thought that I should have or something else they thought I should do. And now I don't have any peace. I don't have any. If you don't have any peace, you're not going to have the next thing, which is what? Joy. Someone said peace. Our joy is peace dancing. Not quite ready to dance in the natural, but I'm doing it in the Spirit. So, but you wouldn't want me to dance in the natural anyway. So, once in a while I do. Yeah, you've seen it before, haven't you? Yeah, that's all right. I'll be even more undignified than this, right? Yeah. So, but God wants us to be free. He doesn't want you hating life. He wants you to have abundant life. And that life is in the Spirit. It's in the gentle yoke of Christ. It's you and Jesus yoking up and walking it out, doing it daily, just doing life together. Don't be stressed out. Have I done enough? Have I been good enough? Get over that stuff. When you're walking, amen, with Jesus, you're not all concerned about that stuff. Why? Because you just know He's with you and He's for you. You know His heart. You know He's not going to leave you. Sometimes Heisuke and I, we just hang out. We don't talk a lot. You know, sometimes we talk, but a lot of times we don't do a lot of talking. We just hang out together because we like each other. You know, we're company. We just kind of hang out, you know, we'll do something. And whether we say anything or not, just being together. I always have to be saying something, you know. Even prayer, a lot of times, folks, we're doing all the talking and God's trying to say something. The righteousness of God is not the righteous acts that we do, but the righteousness that He supplies by the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit. And so the only righteous deeds that God accepts are the result of Christ working in and through us. The only righteous deeds that God accepts, the righteousness of saints, the deeds that we do, are a result of Christ working in us and through us. And His yoke is not burdensome. He even said, "My commandments are not burdensome. They're not stressful. What I tell you to do, amen, you can find pleasure in the will of God." How is it, I bring this up a lot, but how is it that the disciples could rejoice after they've been flogged for Jesus? They had joy that they were counted worthy to receive stripes for Jesus, to be flogged for Jesus. Why? Because they had discovered a place in the Spirit, a higher place. They had connected in, amen, to the righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Spirit, which will lift you up above any situation and circumstance. Sometimes, you know, we struggle, amen, but we just need to get back to that place, recalibrate our lives and say, "Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming back to You. I'm getting back to my first love. Everything else needs to shut off. All the television, all the other, just rather sports, all that other stuff, it needs to go off. Amen. It's just You, Me, Jesus getting recalibrated, getting reconnected, getting refired. Amen. And let's do this thing. Let's get her done. Get her done together. Amen. Sometimes, I said this already, but we think if we just do more good deeds, God will love us more and accept us. The answer to that is what? No. Because God only accepts us on the basis of Christ's righteousness. We're only accepted by His righteousness, not our own. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says this, "But of Him, of God the Father, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God." And what's that word? Righteousness, right? And sanctification and redemption. He became for us wisdom from God. Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So it's no longer my righteousness, but it's His. It's no longer my yoke or the yoke of man, but it's His yoke. It's no longer my works, but His works. When Jesus hung on the cross, He said, "It is finished. The work has been finished." We have to enter in now to the finished work. And that's called rest. The rest of God. Where I stop striving and I start accepting. I start receiving. Amen? What God has already promised me. We are children of promise, not children of law, but children of promise. God has given to us precious promises, hasn't He? We can have hope. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. It's only as the Lord Christ is walking in us, walking in His people, leading, motivating, empowering, and manifesting His life, are we a manifestation of the righteousness of God on the earth. We cannot produce righteousness. It's only as the Lord Himself is motivating us, empowering us, enabling us. He's the one that manifests His righteous rule. That's why when we're in right standing with God and we're walking in the peace and joy of the Lord, sometimes people who are living in darkness, who don't want the darkness, aren't going to like you. And that's okay. That's just a sign that the Spirit of glory and of Christ rests upon you. Amen? So that's all right. Lord, I just want to know that You and I are tight. We're in righteousness. Amen? And as a result, I have peace. So if you're here today and you don't have peace in your heart, you're not walking in the peace and joy that you read about in this book, it's because you're not in righteousness. I'm sorry, that's just exactly how it is. If you're in righteousness, you will have peace and joy. And there are times when we step out of righteousness because we're stepping out of Christ. We're like a bottle that needs to abide within another bottle. We're to, every day we're to put on Christ. Amen? And we're to walk in His righteousness. I'm clothed in His righteousness. I stop striving, amen, to be good enough or to perform well enough. I'm just abiding in His good enough. It's because of His good enough that I'm good enough to be with Him. I'm clothed in Him. And as a result of that, I have life and peace. I have joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. One verse, Isaiah 32:17, the work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. There it is. In the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that word today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what happens and no matter where we go and whatever we do, that you're right there with us, Lord. And you have the grace that we need. All that we have need of is in you. For you have given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Lord, thank you for your amazing grace. Hallelujah. Bless and keep your people, each one of us. Guard our hearts and our minds. Teach us, Lord, how to find rest in you. Teach us, Lord, how to walk with your gentle yoke. Show us the things that we need to discard in our lives, the things that would bog us down. God, teach us your ways. Lead us in your paths of righteousness. For your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.